Good morning, and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. And I hope you're tuning in, whether through Facebook or YouTube channel or Boxcast with the Apple TV, the Roku, or even watching it on a website. We're excited that we can broadcast and be able to have different outlets for this. But we do study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. And when we study the whole Bible, that's 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scriptures are given by the inspiration of God and for reproof, for doctrine, reproof, and correction, and all. And then the Bible's own way, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we are, once again, we are excited that we can come to you at this hour, at this time. As you know, that we used to meet in the Canton-Massillon area, and due to foreseen reasons that we had no choice with our church, that we was meeting in a dispatch station under the police station. And with this pandemic or COVID-19 or Chinese virus or, you know, whatever you want to call it, they no longer lets us meet there, so we had no choice. And I wasn't going to hide in a basement or sit in my bedroom and all that type of thing just to not to do nothing. So we decided to move our church here in Cambridge, Ohio. We have a place where we can meet. You're welcome to come by when you can. Just let us know that you're visiting, or know somebody that would like a local church that studies the Word of God rightly divided. And we'll welcome them. It may be strange to some people's ears what we're teaching, but what it is, we're teaching Bible. And we're people of the book, and we're going to proclaim the good news of the gospel of the grace of God and for all to hear. And God gives us the free will to choose, and we know that's big, and we need to just let the Word of God say what it means and mean what it says. And with that being said, the prayer requests and praise items that many of you sent us, we want to lift them up in thought and prayer. We want to think of Brother Steve Tackett. His mother did pass away. And also there's many things that's ailing in us or making us sick and all. I think of Brother Richard. One of our dear friends in the Lord came down with COVID, and he's doing well, and all. So you may know somebody has had the symptoms and all, but we just trust that they will come out of it, if you will, and just be even stronger than they ever have been. So let's look at some things right quick. You can visit our website at www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org if you want to listen to the other messages and all. We got plenty of messages there if you want to donate towards the ministry. I know many of you have asked, how can we support? We do have a donate button there. Some of you may not want to give credit card information out. That's fine. We have a P.O. Box 592. If you want to mail us something that way. But needless to say, we do have some bills. You know, we do support Grace School of Bible. Now we're supporting this Boxcast so we can get out in different platforms. So if you want to help with that, it would be greatly appreciated. Also, we're working on the May conference that we sponsor. We're working out some details there through the contract, and hopefully we will meet there, and we got plenty of time to tell you what it's all about and all, but we do have the Ohio Grace Ministries, and that will tell you when the conference is, and we usually have it May and Memorial Day weekend. So we just want to say hello to everybody out there, and let's go to the Word of God in prayer. Father, once again, we thank you for the time. We thank you for the things you've given us. As we think about what's on our mind and our hearts, and in their soul, Lord, that we know that as we think about the world around us, that it does not seem that it's a pleasant place to be. But Lord, when you left this place, light left with you. but you give us a message, a light of the glorious gospel, to be a light in this dark world. And even though, Lord, it seems like it's dark out there, we can be light. And that's what people is drawn to, light in the darkness. So let us continue to be who we are, stand and withstand the wiles of the devil, and be able to just communicate through God's word, rightly divided. His name we pray. Amen. We're in lesson 5, and we're going through the Bible in 7 hours. And as you know, we're done gone past at least 5 lessons, and we're going to continue that. And like I said, this is going to springboard us into fundamentals of dispensationalism that is going to share what the Word of God is all about. Now, that's a long lesson and study in itself, but I hope you will enjoy it. If you're new to right division, if you're new to studying the Word of God the way dispensationally, we trust that you will just sit back with your Bible and let the words mean what they say and say what they mean, as I mentioned earlier, and let the Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit teach you. You know, many people attack me and attack the ministry and stuff, say, you know, you're following man's doctrine. You're following man. No, I'm not. I'm following what God gave the Apostle Paul in the dispensation of grace for you and I. And, all, you know, like I said, all the Bible's for us, but not all is to you. And that's where we're at right now. And lesson 5, we left off last time talking about the nation Israel was created to be God's earthly and kingdom people. And God's earthly purpose is to make Jesus Christ the head over things in the earth through an instrumentality of the kingdom vested in the nation Israel. Now, as you look at this timeline, this is all it is, a timeline of the Bible. I'm going to close this up right here. We'll get to this in a bit. The prophetic program, that's what we're talking about, in the prophecy program. This top line up here is the nation Israel, okay? This bottom line down here is the Gentiles, nations. There's only one nation up here that God chose, and that's what we're going to see. So when it would be through the favored nation that God would bless all the nations of the earth, and the nation Israel would be his channel of blessings to the nations. And that's where we left off last week. Now, go to Genesis chapter 12. We're going to continue this, why and how Israel is above all the other nations out there. He chose one nation out of all of them. So, Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed Haran. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, verse 18. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. We're running through some verses to show you who the nation Israel, that is going to be blessed. The nation Israel is going to be a channel of blessing throughout the whole nation, or world. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy what? Rising. So there's going to be a dark world out there. Not only a dark world, but dark grossness covers the people. So that's light. Light will go. Remember when Israel came out of Egypt? Before they came out of Egypt, one of the things was darkness in the world. But where was that light? In Goshen. this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Okay? That light out there in that dark world in Egypt was Israel. Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 13. And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing, fear not. But let your hands be what? Strong. So God's going to choose Israel and Judah, and they're going to be a blessing. He's told them not to fear not. Look at verse 20. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts, I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord. So there's going to be a time. Has that time happened yet? Okay, it's going to be a time over here in ages to come where God is going to take Israel, and people's going to flock to that. The nation's going to flock for that because they're a light. They're doing what God says. Now, in times past, okay, we talked about times past, but now in ages to come, times past is what we're talking to right now. Gentile salvation, in order of a Gentile, you and I would have been a Gentile in times past. To be saved, they had to go through Israel. I know that may be strange to you right now because you probably thought you was God's people over there. You know, it may be strange to you right now. There are people telling you right now you have to go through Israel to be saved, okay? That type of thing. But there were two doors available to the Gentiles who came to recognize their gods were false, and that Israel had one true and living God. You got to remember, I always referred to Egypt, okay? Egypt had 10 plagues, remember? The 10 plagues. Those was 10 gods of this world, and God of the Bible, God the Creator, put down every one of those gods. So whether you believe here's something I talk to people quite a bit sometimes. And I asked them about, you know, God. Oh, I believe in God. I asked them, well, what's God? And sometimes they're like, what do you mean? You know? And they don't realize that there's gods in this world. And there's a God of this world, and it's Satan. And he has princesses, okay? And they're little gods. And what happens is, if you don't believe in God the Creator, you may not believe in Satan as a god as well, but you become a god yourself. Okay, that's what's wrong with the institutions today. They strip you of God the Bible. They won't let you bring God the Bible in their institutions, but they make you out to be a god. Look at me, you know, that type of thing. But a Gentile could become a proselyte. Look at Esther chapter 8. Esther chapter 8, Nehemiah, Esther chapter 8, Esther chapter 8, verse 17. And in every province and in every city, whatsoever the king's commanded and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast, and a good day. And many of the people of the land became what? Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. So the Israelites, the Jews in Esther's time, they was doing what God was saying, and they was rejoicing in it, and the fear of them fell on the Gentiles, okay, because they didn't want God of the Bible after them, that type of thing. They wanted what they wanted. And they became Jews. Look at Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Verse 48. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee, and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all the males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. So this Gentile wanted to become a Jew. He had to become what? Circumcised. Now, Isaiah 56, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but if you want to put in your notes about Isaiah 56, it basically backs all this up. Now, another thing you look at, a Gentile could put himself in the place of blessings by blessing Israel. Genesis chapter 12. We just read this a few minutes ago. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be what? Blessed. So by blessing Israel in times past, you would get blessings. There's religious systems out there right now will say you need to bless Israel in order to get God's blessings. But they won't say anything about cursings, will they? You know, no, it's always the blessing side. Listen, Israel today is not in a favored nation status of God. And if we get time, I'll show you some things. Well, we'll get time when we go through the Bible. But right now, we're concentrating on this time period back here. Go to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. First Kings chapter 17, verse 10. 1 Kings 17, 10. So he arose and went to Zephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering up of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, and make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee for thy son and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of the meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of the oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and said, and he and her house did eat what? Many days. You see what, by blessing Elijah, what happened?
She was blessed.
And ate many days of that little bitty thing. Now that's a blessing, isn't it? Joshua chapter 2. Back up here, Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2, verse 9. Starting with verse 9. And she said unto the men, I know the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and you did unto the two kings of Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, who ye utterly destroyed. Verse 11. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did they remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in what? Earth beneath. So these guys are being convinced with what God was doing through Joshua. 2 Kings. Go to 2 Kings. 2 Kings. 2 Kings. Chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 15. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his companies, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now thereof I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Verse 17. And Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, but be given to thy servant two mules, burden of the earth, for thy servants will henceforth offer neither burnt offerings nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. So here's a way that a Gentile could, in times past, okay, if he didn't become a proselyte, as we saw before, he got the blessings. He blessed Israel, and God blessed them. You with me? Now, what we've learned so far is this. God has chose the nation Israel and his earthly nation for his earthly nation an agency. He is going to work through Israel in times past in the earth, okay, and ages to come. He's working through them as an agency. Two, we've learned that God gave the nation Israel the law, okay? He gave them the law. And, Now the law was added to the promise, okay? Was added to the promise. And, God gave nation Israel the law. He didn't give the Gentiles the law. He gave the nation Israel the law. And that law was for obedience, guys. To me, that law was just to separate them. Okay, that sanctified them. Three, the Gentile salvation was available only through the nation Israel. Times past, we got to remember that, guys. Times past, Gentiles down here, nations, the only way they had to go through Israel. It was Israel's promise, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, that's who Israel was. That's who Israel's supposed to serve, by the way. This top line up here is the true nation Israel, what they followed all the way through here, what they're going to be over here. What's not showing on this chart is the false Israel. They started counterfeiting this, and it started drawing away people, and they started serving other gods. Now, the goal of prophecy, guys, the goal of prophecy is this. Specific goal of the prophetic program is the coming of the Messiah and establishing his kingdom on earth. Remember, Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. Genesis 1:2, the focus starts the earth, okay? And it stays the focus all the way over to Acts chapter 9. Okay, and if you didn't have the dispensation of grace, which I'll show you in a second, it continues on the earth. Mm-hmm. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, verse 28. Verse 28 says, "But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and maketh known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thou dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these." Now, Daniel, for sake of time, you can read all the way down to go over all the way to verse 44, okay? And look at verse 44. "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and a kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand for how long?
Ever.
Forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break into pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, and the silver, and the gold, and the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation what there is." But what's the goal of purpose? The kingdom prophesied there, that it's going to set up on earth, and it's going to last for what?
Ever.
That God's going to do this. You and I cannot usher in a kingdom.
Amen.
Okay, you and I, you, in order to have a kingdom, you got to have a king. Hosea chapter 3. Hosea chapter 3. Right after Daniel. Hosea chapter 3, verse 4. "And the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without a ephah, and without a teraphim. Afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God, and David their what? King, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in latter days." Here's another thing. The goal of prophecy is having David and the kingdom. Okay, the people's going to look for that. Micah. Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4, verse 1. "But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow unto it." Verse 2. "And many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his path. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from what?
Jerusalem."
So the prophecy there is having something on earth where people can literally visible see it and go to it. And you talked about the mountains and stuff. If you look at in the times past, about every tree on every hill, things like that, Israel was supposed to destroy all that stuff for this one mountain. Now, in times past, the hope of the nation Israel was to be a kingdom of
royal priests.
Let's look at Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. I think a lot of people don't realize this about the nation Israel. When they're chosen up, they're being chosen for God to deal with the earth. Not God dealing with the heaven. He's got another agency called the body of Christ that we'll talk about that's going to take care of the heavenly places. But God's focus from Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, don't ever forget this, all the way over to Acts chapter 9, his focus is on the earth. And people get caught up with that, not realizing that that's not the mystery program or the dispensation of grace, what God's doing today, but, and they try to put you into that earthly kingdom. You know that. Many of you come out of that stuff. But look, Exodus chapter 19, verse 3. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say unto the house of Jacob, and tell the children of who? Israel. Moses is not talking to the body of Christ. God is telling Moses, and we looked at that last several lessons. You might want to go back and refresh yourself. Moses is a lawgiver to the nation Israel. They looked up to him as their redeemer. He delivered them out of Egypt. Okay? And God gave Moses a law. He says, verse 4, ye have seen what I did unto Egypt, and how I bared you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye obey my law, voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then shall ye be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people and all the earth. Verse 6, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Okay? This is what they're going to be. They're going to be a kingdom of priests for this nation on this earth for God Almighty. Okay? Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 4. And thou shalt build the and they shall build the old waste. They shall rise up the former desolation. They shall repair the waste cities and desolation of the many generations. And a stranger shall stand and feed your flock. And the son of the alien shall be your plowman and your vine dresser. Verse 6, but ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and their glory shall ye boast what? So here's a priest of the Lord, and the Gentiles in the kingdom program is going to look at the priest and actually feed them and all that good stuff. What about Zechariah chapter 8? Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 13. And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah, and O house of Israel, so will I save you, and it shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be what? Strong. Verse 20. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall come to pass that there shall come people and inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go unto another, saying, let us go up speedily to pray before the Lord and seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Verse 22. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and I pray before the Lord. Verse 23. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take a hold out of all the languages of the nations, even shall take a hold of a skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we had heard that God is with you. This is that kingdom program in Ezekiel chapter 36, and the kingdom of priests, that when it's all said and done over here, there are going to be 10 people out of nations, grab a shirt tail of a Jew, and walk in the kingdom because they want to be like them. They're going to be a kingdom of priests. They're going to be saying things and doing things. Now, this hope is to be realized on the earth. Okay? It's not a spiritual kingdom. It's a literal physical kingdom. Okay? Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. Hope you're enjoying this, because I sure am. Genesis 13. Listen, I could teach this every day, every night, every hour, way past 7 hours of the Bible. And I'm always learning something. Okay? You learn by repetitiously learning, studying. And that's what God wants us to do. And when you can understand what programs God's doing in times past and what He's doing today, it makes a world of difference. Because you can get very confused with what I'm sharing with you right now. But I thought we was Israel. Nobody ever should tell you you're the nation Israel today. Nobody should tell you you're spiritualizing Israel, and that's what we got God so you can get God's blessing. They're lying to you. Okay? And you should have the backbone and have God's word saying, you're not lying to me no more. I'm taking off these rose-colored glasses. I'm putting on the mind of Christ. I'm going to study the Word of God, rightly divided. And I'm telling you, if you just take that mentality, this Bible will open up. You don't have to fear it. Okay? Now, I do fear the Lord. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that we have the Word of God and the power thereof. Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thy eyes, and look for the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. So Abram looks up and he goes north, south, east, west. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed be what? Numbered. Arise, walk there through the land in the length of it and the breadth of it, and I will give it to them. Then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. So when God told him go up, he measured out the land that God was going to give to Abraham and his seed. It's not that little 7 mile stretch over there, okay? It's not what man has carved out for Israel. It's a big territory, okay? Genesis chapter 15. Verse 13. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thou seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. So he's prophesying that they're going to go to Egypt. Okay? Abraham's seed is. They're going to be strangers down there. And also that nation whom thou shalt serve, I will judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And did they? Yes. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But the fourth generation thou shalt come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down, and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and burning lamp that passed between those pieces. And in the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying unto him, thou seed have I given this land, for the river, from the river of Egypt until the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. You know all those sites right there? You know who they are in that land? They're satanic strongholds. And they're very evil people, okay? And when Joshua went in, he started defeating those people. And then what happened, if you know the story that happens to them, they started taking things and they started getting curses, okay? And they didn't get the land that God told them to get, okay? Those strongholds, guys, are everywhere. The God of this world has strongholds. He's the prince and power of the air. He's the God of this world. So why do you put your faith in what man's doing out there? You with me? Because if they're not following the God of the Bible, they're following the God of this world. Or they're following their own self as gods. Me, 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 I. I better move on. Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17 verse 6. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee, and thou unto the thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee and the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession will I what? Be their God. God's going to give them that land. Has that happened yet?
No.
So you might be thinking, well, what's God doing? Okay? That's why we're talking about a kingdom prophesied here. This is a prophetic program. Job chapter 19. There's a lot of verses we need to look at right here. Job chapter 19. Verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet my flesh shall I see what?
God.
So no matter what, Job, his Redeemer liveth, and he's going to die, but he's going to see his God, okay? Over here. Has yet to come. That's a good verse for all of us, by the way. My Redeemer liveth. Okay? And when I'm dead and I turn to worm dirt, be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. Okay? That's what I believe. Isaiah chapter 11. Verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox, and the suckling child shall play all on the hole of the asp, and the winged child shall put his hand on the cockatoo's den. Listen, where's this going to happen at?
Ages to come.
Okay? You do that today, what's going to happen to you? You're going to get eat up in the lion's den. Okay? You're going to get eat up in a bear's den. But notice it don't say, you know, when what does it say? The lion lay down with the lamb. It says the wolf lays down with the lion. That's over here in his kingdom program on this earth.
Yeah.
Daniel chapter 2, and I think we already looked at Daniel chapter 2 in a reference to the kingdom on this earth, the prophesied kingdom. But let me ask you something. Do you know where the first time the word kingdom is used in your Bible? Now, we're talking about kingdom way over here, Daniel, right? But do you know where the first time the word kingdom is used? I'm going to give you a benefit of the doubt saying you do. But look at Genesis chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10. The first time the word kingdom is used. And we already started seeing when the kingdom is prophesied right here for this earth. Okay, but here, look, Genesis chapter 10, after flood, it's the verse 1 says, "Now these are the generations of Noah, Shem, and Ham, and Japheth, and to them were the sons born after the flood." So God told them, you know, this is what you're going to do. You're going to go replenish the earth and all that good stuff. Look at verse 10. Well, look at verse 8, starting with verse 8. "And Cush begat Nimrod. He became to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord." Verse 10. "And the beginning of his" what?
Kingdom
"was Babel, Erech, Akkad, Cana, and in the land of..." So here is Nimrod. His kingdom starts where? In Babylon. Mm-hmm. Okay? Well, you know what happens in Babylon. He builds a super Walmart, or super Nimrod Walmart. Okay? And he convinces, listen, from the time they got off the ark here, by the way, from the time they got off the ark to the time this happens, 150 years. And I believe, from what Genesis to chapter 12 or 11, I believe within 150 years, they was doing what God told them to do. God told them to do it. God blessed them, and they had no other reason not to. But within 150 years, what Nimrod did, he started gathering people. "I will be your hunter. I will be your protector." And people started listening to that and going back and going back. And all of a sudden in Babylon, there's one tongue, one nation, one group of people. If you don't think that can happen, it can. You can do it today. Within 150 years, we should be a melting pot in America. And we have been until 1993-ish, okay? When we had somebody, we're no longer a melting pot, but a bilingual nation, that messed up a lot of people. So you're no longer a nation of people, of Americans, like you should be, if you don't mind me saying that. But what Nimrod done, he gathered them all back, and this is the beginning of his kingdom, and you know that's been trouble ever since. Babylon created a religious system there that goes on through today, and it's going to end up over here. But I just want to share you that this is the kingdom that's first mentioned. It's not God's kingdom. Like what we're showing in Daniel and stuff, it is the God of this world's kingdom. Now, how much time we got? We got a few more minutes. The earthly kingdom will be fulfilled in the Davidic covenant. You have the Palestinian covenant, talking about land, the people, and the promises, okay? Abraham. Then you come up here and David. David has a... Davidic covenant. If many of you know what that is, go to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Verse 12. "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee,
which shall possess all of thy bowels, proceed out of all the bowels, and will establish his kingdom. And he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Verse 14. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with a rod of men, and with his stripes of his children of men. You know, notice it don't say that he's going to kick him out of the kingdom or lose his salvation, stuff like that. Think about that. But that verse 12 is Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Okay? That's what we're talking about. 1 Chronicles chapter 17. Kings, 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 17. First Chronicles chapter 17, verse 4. Go and tell David my servant, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me a house to dwell in. Now that probably crushed David, because David was a man after God's own heart, and he wanted to build a kingdom. He wanted to build a throne. He wanted to build what Samuel built. And for I have not dwelt in a house since the day that I was brought up Israel until this day, but have gone from tent to tent and from tabernacle to another. Here's the Lord God telling David that he's been dwelling in tents made with skins, and he hasn't had a house. Wheresoever I have walked with all Israel, spake I a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, why have ye not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with thee whatsoever thou hast walked, and have cut off all thy enemies from before thee, and have made thee a name in the name of the great men that are in the earth. Also I will ordain a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, and they shall dwell in their place, and shall be moved no more, neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more as in the beginning. And since the time that I have commanded judges to be over my people, Israel, moreover, I will subdue all thy enemies. Furthermore, I'll tell thee that the Lord will build thee a house. And it shall come to pass, when thy days be expired, that thou must go unto be with thy fathers, and I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be thy sons, and will establish his kingdom. And he shall build me an house, and will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son, and I will not take my mercies away from him, as I took it from him that was before thee. But I will settle him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established for what? Evermore. According to all these words, and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. That kingdom, that Davidic kingdom, what did he just promise David? He's going to live forever. Mm-hmm. His seed's going to live forever. They're going to be a kingdom forever. They're going to be a house forever. They're going to be a throne forever. It's a literal, physical kingdom. I probably should end right there, because we've got tons and tons and tons of more verses to go, but this is what we're talking about. Just to recap this for a minute. The prophesied kingdom, okay, one thing you got to realize this, the prophesied kingdom is through the nation Israel, and it's going to be fulfilled over here. What happens, and we'll get to this in lessons to come, when Lord Jesus Christ, John the Baptist, was on this earth, and we're going to look at that soon, I'm just going to get you thinking, John the Baptist, Lord Jesus Christ, and 12, preached, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It's prophesied over here. It's at hand right here. It's not offered to Acts chapter 3. Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay? That's when it's offered for them. But has it happened yet?
No.
Okay? Something, this is why you've got to understand the word God rightly divided, that God has postponed that kingdom program, but it's going to be established over here. So when you look at this timeline, this is your Bible in prophecy. But what God has kept secret in Himself is that the Bible, the kingdom that we're talking about, has been postponed. Okay? God's not forming a kingdom of priests. God's not forming a nation for a kingdom on earth. God's forming a body of believers that is going to be placed in the heavenly position. Nowhere in your Bible will you find this over here. Nowhere. Now, you might find a version that, you know, there's thousands of versions out there that you can believe anything you want to believe. You can find a Bible for it. Bible means book. So what he's done here is postpone that kingdom program. He's forming a body which he, Jesus Christ, is the head of the body. You will not find that over here. So, with that being said, think about the prophetic program that we're talking about. We're going to continue this walk through the Bible, okay? And we're going to continue that. So you're getting ready to leave this kingdom prophesied, and now you're going to start seeing some things about it's at hand, like I just showed you. Then we're going to see some things about it's being offered. Then you're going to see some things what God is doing today in the dispensation of grace in the mystery program, that is the kingdom is postponed, but yet people want to tell you we need to build a kingdom. God, if you believe the verses that we just went through, then you can understand that God's going to do this.
Amen.
And He does it right over here. And that 1,000 years is just a beginning of that kingdom.
Amen.
Okay? And then when it's all said and done, He takes heaven and earth and gives it to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords over it all. And I say this once, I'll probably say it 1,000 times. The main theme of your Bible, okay, is about authority over the throne of the entire universe.
Mm-hmm.
And I watch people today, and I'm watching this news stuff, media. Hey, listen. Don't get your news from mainstream media. Get your news out of the Bible. You know, this is good news.
Amen.
Hey, that media is a tail of a snake. Tail of a dragon. They're just doing exactly what that head's telling them to do. Go after the head and cut the head off and you might get some truth. Okay? That's true with sin. Sin has not dominion over you, but don't you feel like you're fighting it every day? Yes. Sin leaves a stain, and it can be washed away through the blood of Jesus Christ. Can I share something about a stain?
Sure,
okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. My wife's got braces, okay? I got to share this with you. So, she changes her braces like every monthly or something, you know, where they tighten stuff. So she gets the bands and they really look like bone white, you know, whiter than white. And she smiles and it looks like skeletons, bones. Well, you know, flu season's coming upon us and, you know, we're preparing ourselves for that. So I took elderberries, I took 2 tablespoons of elderberries and half a teaspoon of turmeric and a quarter of cinnamon, and you boil it for 15 minutes. You get it boiling, then you simmer for 15 minutes. Then you let it cool for 5, and you put it in your teacup. It's a tea. So it's funny. I said, Sherry, you want some? Yeah, I'll take it, because, you know, you want to build your immune system up, right? And so she'd taken it, and she drank it, and then she goes in to brush her teeth. We was going out to eat last night, and they're kind of yellow now.
No, they're not kind of yellow. They're fluorescent.
Now she's saying they're fluorescent yellow. You know, it's like caution. You know, she's getting ready to speak. But anyway, I'm laughing. You know, I said, peroxide, you know, brush. But she thinks they're stained. I don't think that bad, but saving grace here. But anyway, sin can stain you, and it has stained you. Your blood is tainted. And in order to get a blood transfusion, you have to get the blood of Jesus Christ, okay? And that blood washes this stain and makes us white as snow, okay? If you have any kind words for my wife about how to remove
turmeric
stains, we'd greatly appreciate it. Hey, we love you in Christ, okay? Visit us on our website, www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org. Let us know how you're doing. Text us, email us, and we love to hear from you. If you want to help with the ministries, we won't turn it down. Just let us know how you're doing. We miss you all in person, and most of all, if you haven't trusted Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, today is a day of salvation. Don't leave here. Don't turn this off. Don't walk out that door knowing that where you're going to spend eternity. Because that lake of fire is real. Okay? And once you die, you can't get pardoned from that. Okay? You can get pardoned for all our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for things given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Till next week, guys.